Calling home from Japan this week is Chris Conway. Brought up in Seatoon and Lyell Bay, he's a volcanologist, did his doctorate at Victoria. Chris lives on the island of Honshu, the big one, in Tsukuba City, which seems to be about the size of Christchurch. He's been there about 7 years. Japan has more than 100 active volcanoes and many earthquakes, as we know. Konnichiwa, Chris.
Konnichiwa. Kia ora, Jim.
We know Japan has shaky isles too. We're always reminded of it. Is that what took you across there in the first place?
Yeah, not so much the shaking, but maybe the exploding and erupting. I'm interested in volcanoes, so I came over to check out all the active volcanoes here.
Yeah, I was kind of including the volcanoes in on the shaking. Right, okay. And you're in the kind of the science centre of Japan. Yes, I notice aerospace, geography, planetariums, museums. That's where you are.
That's right. Our city is, a science city. A lot of research institutes here set up as a base for research that's relatively close to Tokyo. So a lot of researchers live here.
Yes, you're not far from Tokyo on a fast train, are you?
That's right. We've got an express line. So we're about 50 kilometres northeast of Tokyo, but we can get into the city in under an hour.
Fantastic. So you've done a lot of exploring of Tokyo in your time there.
I have, yeah. It's an amazing city. A lot of differences all throughout the city from station to station. So it's a great place to explore on the weekends.
Yeah, I bet it is. Who do you work for, please?
I work for the Geological Survey of Japan.
And what does that job involve?
Well, I'm in the Volcanic Activity Research Group. So we make geological maps for volcanoes and study the eruptive products of volcanoes throughout Japan.
I'm imagining that being out of the office is the best part of the job, is it?
Absolutely. That's probably why I chose volcanology, was to be outside a fair amount of time. And we get to explore, do a lot of hiking and trekking over volcanoes.
Studying crystals found in lava flows from eruptions can help mitigate hazard from active volcanoes, I was reading. How does that work, Chris?
We pick up samples in the field and we take them back to the lab. And we look at these tiny little crystals that record the processes of magma generation and eruption.
And how does our knowledge progress through that, through studying the crystals?
So we can tie what we see from, for example, seismic signals or ground deformation. We can tie that time series to what the crystals record. They also record a time series of information. And so we kind of piece together what we can record at the surface with what happens at depth, which we can't see, but which is recorded by crystals that are eventually erupted. And that gives us a much more detailed view of what happens at volcanoes. These time frames for which we think that we can prepare or mitigate volcanic hazards.
The time lag between magma mixing in the crust and eruption at the surface is less than 10 days for most lava flows. I found that reassuring. I don't know if I should, but we sometimes hear in Auckland that we may only have 2 or 3 days warning of a big eruption. But so what's the average time, do you reckon? Can you pinpoint that?
It varies between volcanoes in different settings. I think that that 10 days that you mentioned was a time frame for some lava flow eruptions at Ruapehu. It could be quicker in the Auckland volcanic field. In other settings, there could be more protracted time between magma intrusion and eventual eruption. So we definitely rely a lot on our monitoring equipment and data, but we also kind of lean on what we can gather from the past. That gives us a framework for understanding how quickly eruptions may occur in the future.
In Japan and in New Zealand, Chris, do we monitor enough so that we will always know, or are there gaps in the monitoring that, might surprise us still?
I guess nature always surprises us, but Japan and New Zealand are pretty well monitored for volcanoes and for earthquakes. I'm sure there's more stations that we can put in. There'll be more and new techniques in the future that will give us more information about volcanoes, hopefully.
Do you get back here a bit? Because I notice your work is quoted in connection with Ruapehu, and I also see you do ocean work as well, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. Recently, we've had a bilateral research project between the Geological Survey of Japan and GNS Science and Victoria University. So I've come back for a few work trips and a few family trips.
That's perfect, isn't it? It keeps you in touch with New Zealand, even though you're living somewhere else, which is not something that everybody we talk to is able to do. In fact, it hardly ever happens. That's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, my work has been a great link back home, and I'm really happy to stay in touch with those guys that I worked with during my master's and PhD. And it's been a great thrill to kind of show them around Japan as well and show them my life over here when they come over.
Yeah, that's great too. So, what's New Zealand's likely next volcanic threat? I know the crystals you work with aren't in the shape of a ball, but you must think about this or must talk about it with other volcanologists.
Yeah, I mean, I leave that up to the guys at GNS Science, but
Fair enough.
we have active volcanoes all throughout that North Island, and they are well monitored and well studied. It could be from anywhere between White Island and Ruapehu, I suppose. But no doubt the residents will be ready for it.
Yeah, and I read a headline, I'm sure, in a newspaper at some point, opining that it could be a new volcano erupting, say, between Rangitoto and Auckland City. I think that was what was speculated on. So the monitoring equipment picks up new volcanoes that rather than just the ones we know about.
Yeah, Auckland volcanic field is different from, say, Ruapehu and Tongariro, which generally have one vent or a few vents concentrated in a pretty small area. So we expect eruptions from those big stratovolcanoes to come through a relatively well-known area. The Auckland volcanic field has 53 or so different vents scattered throughout the city, so new magma will come up in probably a different location in a future eruption, and the monitoring equipment will help to locate where that magma is moving beneath the surface and where it might come up, at ground level.
It's still the case, isn't it, that magma can come up really fast. So will volcanology, though, reach the point where you can say with certainty, eruption in 4 days, everyone clear the area, that kind of accuracy or not?
I guess that's the goal, that level of detail for volcano forecasting. There was a good case in Japan in 2000 in Usu volcano where volcanologists identified these precursory signals and evacuated the area, and then the eruption occurred. So that's kind of a feel-good story, I guess, about volcano forecasting and hazard mitigation, and that's certainly the goal for us in the future.
Yeah, it's a great area to work in. Dr. Chris Conway's talking to us from Tsukuba City in Japan. You're quite tall, aren't you? Does that present difficulties in Japan? I know Japan's got tall people, but not that many of them as in New Zealand, I think.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I stand out. Sometimes knocking my head on doorways or the hand holders, what do you call them, on trains,
Oh, yeah.
can be hard to find clothes or shoes sometimes. People often comment on how tall I am.
And they know where New Zealand is.
They do. New Zealand, famous for its haka and its kiwi and its beautiful nature.
As opposed to many Americans, proverbially. What do you like most about being there? Just a very general question.
It's safe and it's comfortable, it's convenient. But the thing that keeps me excited about living here is exploring the, I guess, the regional differences throughout Japan. This kind of specialty food or sake, wherever you go. So, being able to travel for work and experiencing those differences is really cool.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Safety, yeah, it's maybe the safest country of all, or one of them, isn't it?
Yeah, not much crime. Plenty of police officers who I'm not sure if they have a lot of work to do, but they're doing a good job anyway.
You rent, don't you? Which makes sense. Cheaper than Wellington?
It is, yeah. In Tokyo, I'm sure it's a different story. It would be much more expensive, but out here, there's a lot of space, a lot of new apartment buildings popping up to support families. Along the train line, which connects us to Tokyo. So yeah, it's pretty cheap out here actually. They're all pretty resistant to shaking, and we get a few shakes every now and then.
You get a few shakes, that's right. Summers, I was reading in Tsukuba City, are short, warm, muggy, wet, and cloudy. Winters, which doesn't sound too good, winters very cold and snowy but clear. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of the reverse of seasonal depression, I guess, where you get nice sunlight in the winter, and a lot of cloudy, muggy weather during the summer.
Yeah, that's interesting, the reverse of seasonal depression. So many visitors would just do a day trip from Tokyo if they were traveling in Japan.
Out to Tsukuba?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. And probably their key or popular destination would be to climb Mount Tsukuba, which is a popular mountain with shrine and temple.
You've climbed Mount Fuji, I see online, and
Yeah,
Mount
definitely.
Tsukuba, the one local to you, it's almost as famous, isn't it, in Japan?
It is, yeah. It's a really famous mountain known for. It's mythological deities that kind of gave birth to the other gods throughout Japan. And it stands out across the flat plains of this Kanto region. So yeah, it's definitely popular.
I'm quoting from Japan Travel. The walk up this mountain, despite difficulties and pain, is still beautiful through towering trees. How many difficulties, how much pain, please?
It's not that painful. It's about 780 meters high, I
Okay.
think.
You're pretty fit, aren't you? What do you do in your free time?
Probably not as fit as I was, but I love sports. So, we have lunchtime soccer, football, and baseball practice at the Geological Survey of Japan. So, I really enjoy doing that, playing sport in my spare time.
And it's a cyclist's paradise where you are. Tons of places to visit on a bike, I notice.
Yeah, it's very flat and a lot of space. So, yeah, people love cycling around here. Everybody, well, a lot of people commute by bicycle, and then there's a an old converted railway line which has become a cycleway, and that's a definitely a popular attraction in the area, Rin-Rin Road.
And if you don't want to climb that mountain, you can get a funicular railway and gondola ride or similar up to the top, I think.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, so you can take the easy way up as well.
Easy way up. So, Chris, we arrive at your door expecting to be shown the sights. What would you do with us? We've talked about the mountain. Where else would you point us in the direction of? Lots of noodle places. I was reading that there was a noodle bar war in Tsukuba. That may be an exaggeration, but lots of choice.
Yeah, I didn't know about the war, but there's definitely lots of choice. There's buckwheat noodles, soba, which is often eaten with tempura, so battered fried vegetables or shrimp. And then ramen is the very popular one with a range of broths and toppings.
What are fermented soybeans like? They sound like they're good for your gut biome.
Yeah, they are a really popular superfood, which I haven't managed to master yet. Called natto, they're a specialty of this area, but their consistency and smell is something that I just can't get past yet. So that's still on my to-do list as well.
I imagine fermented soybeans might cause the occasional eruption.
I'm sure they do, yeah.
So the diet just as healthy, do you think? You eat just as well there as you would here, just a bit differently.
Yeah, I would say so.
So there's a Tsukuba Expo Centre with interactive science displays, a Tsukuba Space Centre, and I mentioned that cable car running up the big mountain so you don't have to walk. In fact, you could probably spend a few days in Tsukuba, especially if you had a kind of scientific bent. It'd be a fascinating city to, just to poke your nose around into exhibits and things.
Absolutely, yeah. There's museums associated with all these research institutes scattered around the city. So if you've got a bike or you can hire a cycle, it's yeah, there's a couple of days worth of exploring.
It sounds like a nice life. So you're pretty happy.
I am happy here, yeah, for sure.
Well, of course, you're able to do all the work you really want to do. And I suppose there'll be no shortage of it into this foreseeable. Are you going to bring all that knowledge back home someday, Chris?
I hope so. I guess so. That might be the long-term conclusion. But for now, I'm definitely happy to keep researching here and collaborating with my colleagues back in New Zealand. I love hosting people over here. It's such a fun place to do road trips or just to travel and explore with friends.
Yeah, I can imagine. So you're happily ensconced. Very good. Nice to talk with you, and congratulations on the work you do. It's important work, and it's good to be. I think you're our first volcanologist ever that we've chatted to, so it's good to be able to catch up a bit on the science as well.
Yeah, it was great to talk to you too, Jim. Thank you.
Dr. Chris Conway, up in Japan.